I'd like to welcome everybody to the April 13th Select Board meeting. Would you all join me as we pledge allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Steph.
Sue.
You gotta move closer. Brian.
Pat.
And Pat. All right. Approval of the minutes of March 23rd.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
I have one question I'd like to make.
No second for discussion then.
On line 133.
133?
Yeah, the correct amount is $63,500.
That's what will be coming in?
Right here, it's on that. See it circled there? All right, that's it?
That's it.
Okay. All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian. Pat. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before we get started tonight, may I introduce a special guest to this meeting?
Yep.
Mr. Max Fody. Come on up here, buddy. This is the second year that Max has won the spelling bee over at the Moore School. This is the eighth grade, and last year was the seventh grade, right?
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
We just wanted to offer our congratulations.
Grab the owl.
It doesn't work that well anyways.
It might have helped it. I don't know.
It might have woken up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Last year.
Well, it must be safe to say, Max, that you don't spend a lot of time with video games.
Yes.
Good man.
Good for you.
Uh-oh. Did you kill it?
Uh-oh.
Not lit.
Pat.
Unplug it and plug it.
Okay, I just heard something.
She's gonna have to watch the board tonight. She's gonna have to watch it for the end. There's quite a few on here.
It's coming up. It's lighting up right now.
Ooh. Did it have to stay lit to be ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll hoot.
It worked.
It didn't.
That means it crapped out.
There
we go. Hold the leg. All right, the bottom reports. Highway?
Okay. So for March, we had 2 plowable storms, 3 spreader runs. We did start doing quite a bit of patching just now that we're getting into the spring season. We are still going to be doing that work up on Patton Hill with the hot mix. Okay. But like I said before, we're just waiting for everything to dry out. We did truck some winter sand. We did quite a bit of sign work there. We had a fair bit of stop signs get run over this winter for whatever reason, I don't know why. But so we had to put quite a few, more than we've ever had to put up. We started doing touch-up grading. Last week we actually did start doing our full spring grade because everything's starting to really dry out nice. But we did quite a bit of touch-up grading just with the wet weather and, you know, frost coming out of it, everything. We made pretty good work, pretty good use of that rake that we bought a couple of years ago, too, on a couple of the roads. That rake really has been a huge help, especially during mud season.
You pulled it behind your truck?
Yeah, oh yeah. Pull behind the pickup. It's nice and light. You can drive right over the mud. It really makes it nice. We did have a few windstorms last month, so we had to do quite a bit of debris cleanup. We had a couple hung-up trees that just had to be taken care of. We swept intersections, now that motorcycles and everything are getting on the road. And then we did begin that tree work that was in the Warren article that passed. We have started doing that. Right now, we're focusing on Depot. We did some work on Grain and Patton Hill because that corner of town is by far and away the busiest part of town. And for whatever reason, they seem to have the bumper crop of, like, seriously unhealthy trees. So we have started doing that. And we're going to kind of work our way closer with whatever money we've got. Barring any questions, that's all I have.
While we're on the highway department, I'd like to recognize a family in East Kenya that cleaned up the intersection of Depot Road and Langford Road, that triangle there. That took quite a beating this year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Jessica Rodier and her family went over there and raked it all out, cleaned up the sod, and I think they replanted it too.
Oh, I so appreciate that.
It looks a lot better.
That's good.
Anybody else? I just had one thing, Jeff. I wanted to bring up. Somebody mentioned a conversation I had at Election Day, mm-hmm. and it was in reference to Jane Drive.
Okay.
And I told him, yeah, we know it's bad, and
yeah.
we're planning something. So.
So I've spoken to a few people from Jane Drive on the phone. And my plan for this year on Jane Drive is really we got to cut brush so that we can actually access some of the ditch lines that are there. Because I think one of the biggest issues on Jane Drive is just the fact of drainage. So
right.
what happens is the shoulders, the edge of the pavement cracks, but it's more or less because specifically on Jane Drive and really every road in town, what happens over time is the winter sand gets, you essentially get a windrow on the edge of the road. And it keeps everything on the side of the road. It washes out like a 2-foot channel, and then it cracks off. So I think Jane Drive, some of their biggest issues are definitely drainage. So my plan for this year, I want to get in there, cut some brush, cut some of the dead trees in the circle especially, and then we need to fix some of the drainage. And I think that will, you know, that's not repaving it. And
right.
I've told everybody I've spoken with, if I have money left over, I'd like to pave it this year. I'm definitely not going to guarantee that. I really don't think that's going to be possible. But I want to do some pretty serious.
I think they were just mostly concerned. They want to make sure that it was still on the radar, you know?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It always is. And I've spoken with a lot of people up there, especially some of the people at the bottom of the hill, because that's where a lot of the issues
are. Right. Yeah.
When we do. There's a couple different things I want to do with the circle. There is a ponding issue down there in the winter especially. Really, whenever that road does get completely redone, I would like to put in a culvert so it actually runs out like it's supposed to instead of ponding in the road. The road does need to be graded a little bit differently in the circle
in
order to make that happen. But there's also just a very, just a large amount of winter sand that's gotten down there over however many years, and I think if we clean a lot of that up, I do think it's going to make a big difference.
Good. All right, you're on it.
May I ask a question? And I didn't realize this. People are in charge of their own culverts for the driveway. Is that
driveway
correct?
Culverts, yes.
Yeah, see, I don't know if everybody knows that. Some people
most
know
people that call them. A lot of people call me.
Okay.
But yeah, driveway culverts are the responsibility of the homeowner or the landowner.
I didn't realize that years ago.
We take care of the cross culverts,
right.
obviously, and any catch basins. But driveway culverts are a landowner responsibility.
Hey, Jeff, when you salvage that winter sand from along the roads, can
it's
you use
junk.
It again?
No.
No, it's all right.
No, it's junk. It's good. You know, we can use it in other ways, but not for winter sand.
Okay.
Because a lot of times it's got roots and leaves. I mean, it's not something you'd really want to put back on the road.
Good. What's that? Police.
All right. We had a pretty busy month. We had 8 motor vehicle accidents we responded to. We had 163 motor vehicle stops. We had 15 animal complaints, and we made 6 arrests. Our calls for service this month, they were up to 1,039. Typically, we're running like right around 900. So I think with the warmer weather, things have gotten a little bit more busy. As far as the vehicles go, no major issues to report. PD right now is over at Auburn PD. They are training with the canine over there to learn how to maneuver around if we had to use them, or we're there helping them with mutual aid, so that's something they're doing today. We responded out to the Raymond incident last week. Very unfortunate. It was myself, Officer Denny, and Officer Norris that responded to that. Not a good outcome. The officer that was shot is recovering good. He's a friend of mine, so good. All right. Other than that, that's all I've got right now.
Power button's pushed in on the back again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not working.
Looks like it's stuck.
Is that a good thing or no?
That's the microphone. It's doing something.
Can they hear us?
Nope.
Can you enable the video or not?
I'm not able to do anything. It's got video audio with lines through it here, so I don't know. They can't hear anything they're telling me.
I think it's finally come to an end.
So the people online can't hear on Zoom.
Why does it not come out when you log in again?
No, because it's this year.
Stuck. Oh.
I said if you unplug it and plug it in again, something like that.
I did it twice.
Oh, yeah. This isn't plugged in. This came unplugged.
Thank you. Oh, there you go.
That's why you get the big butt.
Yeah. I just need smaller fingers.
Patrick Techie. All right, does anybody got anything for the police department? No? Okay.
Nice job.
Fire.
Again.
Mike's on a transport to Dartmouth, so he's unable to be here. Okay. So I will try and listen for his new reports. Let's see here. We had a total count of 59 incidences between fire and EMT. We had 30 AMS calls, 8 fire calls, 21, he says, other calls, which would include hazardous materials, hazardous non-chemical, and 14 mutual aid given. And for the fire department, working on organizational restructuring, deputy chief administration, deputy chief operations, promotions. You want me to read all of it?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's training, equipment, notable events.
I didn't even mean to say that.
The fire at Cool Park. Propane leak at Cool Park.
Still busy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Good. Anybody got anything?
And then he included this medical business services report.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a result of the request of the town wanting to see the ins and outs of.
Oh boy.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
I know for the budget committee, Lynn just said she just wants the basic information. She didn't want the whole report.
The revolving.
Yeah.
This is just like what Dean used to make.
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, he broke it down into, like, even the calls, like, just different types of cardiac pain, injury, knee, injury, hip.
More than we need.
Good.
Could have made some good reading.
Building.
We had a total of 39 new permits come in last month. There's three new ADUs that are part of that. And one new home. So four new residences permitted last month.
Fantastic.
Cool. Anybody got anything for Rich?
No.
Oh, you need a building permit for a new roof, correct?
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, and I was like, I'm assuming so.
All right. Solid waste.
Solid waste. Last month, we sent out 65.62 tons, compared to previous year at the same time, 67 tons. Recyclables, 13.36 tons. Compared to last year, that's about half that amount. But the revenues aren't looking too good. So far this year is $2,300. Last year at this time was $16,000. Well, a lot of that's the lag between when we market this stuff and when we get paid. So that's not a real indication of the trend here. That's just a matter of timing here. So at the end of the year, you'll see the difference. That's all we have here.
Good.
I have, if you guys want, a report of what the welfare department has been up to.
Oh.
Do you want to
give them a quick?
Oh.
Well, I guess probably not.
Well, I mean,
is it some of the private?
Yeah, you can't. No,
somewhat
can't,
private. Yeah.
You can't say really a heck of a lot.
Yeah, but these are the good items.
That was more our request for us.
That's what I had there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I did want to ask on welfare. Did we donate to the 8th grade trip?
We did not.
The town didn't?
No.
The welfare department?
She's on donors.
Oh, okay. In the minute it says the welfare department, the India welfare department donated.
That's her, what she's been working on.
In the more school minutes.
In the more school minutes, it said that the town?
Yeah. But that's, it might have been a typo.
I think it was from the, it's from the.
I think a lot of what she's able to do with the welfare department is find all these resources that doesn't cost the town anything, which is wonderful.
Right. No, she's very good at that.
Very good
very
at that.
Resourceful.
I think there were 5 students that received scholarships to go to Washington, D.C. through her.
Good. Did you have anything for us, Sue, from the visit?
No, we just had a meeting last week and introduced everybody. Nothing yet.
All right. The planning board has been not as busy as we could have been because we keep getting cancellations from Crowley Road. And I guess they just got another cancellation. It's not going to be back on until May 6th.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Every time they delay, one person won't show up.
Right. And we are working on some ordinances, zoning ordinances and stuff. And we've got a couple, you know, single subdivisions, you know, a single lot divided, a couple informationals. So we've had some business, but I think everybody is getting kind of anxious to get the Crowley Road one resolved. But we'll see what happens on May 6th. Anybody got anything for any of the departments? Okay. Tax deeded properties auction. Is he able to
speak? Yeah, he's online. Yep, there he is.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Weston?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for chiming in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida. I've never been here before. I have a very Floridian sort of image behind me.
Poor guy.
From Modern Technology, so I could be here today. I don't know if you guys have any initial questions for me. I'm just sort of happy to kind of launch into this entire process, and then if you have questions, I can answer them then. What's your preference?
Launch.
Launch?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the audience.
So, what I've submitted to the select board a little while ago is sort of a table of what are called unknown owner properties that are on the tax rolls based on, you know, a quick avatar search that's available online. There's about 17 properties here, a little over $1 million in assessed value, and the total acreage is a little over 40 acres for all 17 properties combined. I'll start with, what are unknown owner properties? Unknown owner properties are not town-owned properties, at least not yet. So we've done something similar for other towns when they have, like Candia has, a fair number of these unknown owner properties that are on your tax rolls. So unknown owner properties, as the name indicates, could be town-owned properties, but they could also be owned by a private individual, or we have just simply no idea who owns them. And these type of properties are different from the last auction we had in the fall, where it was clear that the town owned the properties in some capacity. When you have an unknown owner property, you have to do, according to New Hampshire Supreme Court case law, you have to go through a certain process to protect the town and landowners that are both, you know, could be the owner of these properties, unknown owner properties, as well as the subsequent purchaser of these unknown owner properties, if it's determined that they ought to be sold via auction or another method. This due diligence basically requires the town to make sure that it is attempting to figure out who owns these properties, be it the town or a private individual. And there's many different ways to go about this. The New Hampshire Supreme Court talked about this in a case called Cacris that was about 35-ish years ago. One of the things is just to check the town records, make sure that there's nothing in the town files that would indicate that this is owned by the town or a private individual. And failing that, what you ought to do is do thorough, basically, title due diligence about an unknown owner property. And this type of title research is, I having done it a fair amount, incredibly frustrating and time-consuming. Because what you're doing is, you don't have a starting point to know who the owner of this property is, which means you have to research all of the properties that surround this property to see if there's any indication in those documents, be it a plan or a meets and bounds description, that would indicate who the owner of this property is or could be. And sometimes, even in doing a very thorough title search, you just do not know who owns the property. And in that instance, if you don't have, you know, any idea as to who owns this, the town ought to be sending letters inquiring of the abutting landowners, do you have any information about this property? And, you know, in my experience, we've done this for a couple other towns, and sometimes you do get relevant information from abutting landowners. You know, they can at least put you on the right track to figure out who owns this particular parcel of land. But sometimes, even with that, the town just can't simply ascertain who owns this property. And in that instance, because it's unlikely that anyone has been paying taxes on these properties for years and years, the town would initiate the process of taking these properties by a tax deed, like you have for other properties, like we sold the last auction. And, you know, there's a whole process for that, 90-day letters, certain notices, things of that nature. And then only then will the town then acquire title to the property and then can proceed with the sale of the property. Of course, if you discover in your research, which we occasionally will do, is find out that the town did in fact acquire title to this property via a gift or via a tax deed that could have been decades old and it just lost track of it. There's all sorts of different ways in which a property that had an ascertainable owner became a quote-unquote unknown owner property. Okay, there's all sorts of different ways that this can occur. And the reason why we recommend that towns sort of address the unknown owner properties is because this is just an inefficiency that the town currently has. It has about $1 million or more of assessed value that's not generating any tax revenue for the town. And a lot of these lots are small lots, you know, under half an acre, that would be of most interest to an abutting landowner just to increase their existing lot by a certain amount. There's a couple properties that I've identified that have an unknown owner title that also, you know, just at a very superficial, not having done a thorough title search, would probably just end up being a correction to the tax records of the town to indicate that this is owned by someone, or even that the lot doesn't exist. But by virtue of going through this process, which, mind you, can take months and sometimes even over a year to do the appropriate research and notices and what have you, you know, you can basically kind of clean up your books and figure out, okay, you know, do we have any parcels on the tax rolls that are just not really doing anything for the town or anyone else? And often these properties can generate a fair amount of interest and revenue for the town just by virtue of the sale. We've had experiences with that. But really, more importantly, it's about getting these generating tax revenue again, or at least updating the town's records so there isn't any confusion about who owns these, you know, 17 properties. It's just a really good thing to do. We've done it for a couple other towns. Again, it's very time consuming. But as far as the way that we structure it, because we're both auctioneers and attorneys with our company, that what we do is we make sure that we structure the fees so that the town doesn't incur any costs by virtue of having us, you know, charge an hourly rate basically to do these in-depth title searches on these properties. And the way we achieve that is by capping the amount that we are able to receive from this research at the amount that the town receives from any future sale of one or more of these properties, such that, you know, even if a lot of these properties end up not going to sale, the town is still not going to incur a hefty legal bill. And just so you know, too, based on my experience, you know, these kind of title searches, the amount that I would bill, you know, based on our current rate would be between $1,000 and $2,000 for most properties. So you're not looking at a ton, you're not looking at tens of thousands of dollars potentially, you're looking at a relatively, you know, modest amount that the town would potentially incur by doing this. But in all likelihood, the town would not be paying that out of pocket. They would be paying it in a way either from any excess proceeds that resulted from the sale of these properties, because those legal costs are recoverable under the statute, or, you know, if the amount that the town ends up being owed is less than the sale value, basically we would take our fees off of the top of that. So let's say property sells for $5,000, you know, the town is owed $6,000, we had $1,000 in legal fees, we would take $1,000, the town would get $4,000. So that's kind of how this all fits together. It's worked incredibly well in the other two towns that we've done this for. And one other note I'll make too is that, you know, in the process of doing this research, if we ever find any indication that these properties are restricted from sale, be it they're under a conservation easement or are controlled by the Conservation Commission in town, those properties would be removed from any potential future sale. And we would encourage the town to update their records to reflect that this is, you know, a parcel that is, you know, subject to, you know, certain restrictions. So those properties, you know, by virtue of just this due diligence process, because the process really matters for these unknown owner properties, potentially even more so than just a run-of-the-mill tax deed property, that the town knows what's going on here and is also potentially, most importantly, protected from any future claims. Maybe not any, but it's strongly protected from future claims that someone could say, being like, hey, the town, you know, sold my piece of land that actually I owned. But if the town goes through all these processes of doing this thorough title research, notifying abutting landowners, you know, asking them for additional information, by a New Hampshire Supreme Court case law, the town is protected against those type of claims. So it's just a really good process to do. Again, it's quite time consuming, but, you know, there was some interest in a couple of, at least one of these parcels at the last auction, and you know, I was just trying to note that because it's an unknown owner property, it's not a town-owned property, that it was not suitable for sale at the auction last fall. So we have to go through this process in order to make sure that the property is first suitable for sale, and if it is end up suitable for sale, that the town is protected against any future litigation.
Thank you. Anybody have
sorry, that's a lot. That was a lot of information. So if you have questions, you know, shoot.
Good.
I'm all set.
You're all set.
I
just say your name, please.
Yep, Deb Decker, 78 Chester Road. What are the two towns that you use this process with in New Hampshire?
Sure, they were Bethlehem and Hooksett.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And then in last month's minutes, you said that the list of properties would be made available soon. Do we have the list of the properties that are on the table?
Mm-hmm.
Are you handing it out to people?
Do they have copies?
The public? Well, we haven't decided to move forward, so right. You have copies in your
right.
And if I could interject too, if you go on the Avatar website, which is publicly available, and you search for unknown owners in the Candia, this is publicly available information. So you can see which properties are considered to be unknown owner properties in a, you know, sort of a quasi-public database that's available online.
Is there something you wanted to comment on a specific piece of property or what?
No, it just said that the list of properties would be made available in last month's minutes, and I was wondering if you were handing them out at this meeting, the list.
Well, like she just said, we haven't agreed as a board to move forward yet with it, so that's why they're not available tonight.
But they could be.
After, yeah. Yeah, we can make some copies.
I mean, I think that would be of interest to the Candia population.
Yeah.
Especially if you bought on the property.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be part of the minutes.
Of this?
Of this meeting.
Okay.
If they are online, I just double-checked. He said if you search unowned Candia properties as well.
I don't think she heard you, Steph.
Oh, if he is, if you search online on owned Candy, or what did he use for the word?
Avatar.
The owner is unknown online. Okay. It did pop up 17 properties.
Okay. I'm not that smart.
Carla?
Yeah. I guess my question is, what is the benefit to the community in selling this property?
Puts the land back on the tax roll. Basically, cleans up a lot of properties in our records that there's no owner and there's no revenue coming in on it.
So the last bundle of land that you sold, several pieces,
yeah.
How many pieces were available to sell and how many did you sell?
From all of them.
You sold all of them.
Nine.
Unless I have the wrong information, you sold all of the property last time.
Yeah.
And you grossed $62,000.
$63,350.
$63,000 and change.
Yeah.
That does not make any significant difference to anything in our community. It doesn't help the taxpayers. It doesn't do anything. So that's the basis of my whole question. I don't understand the benefit in selling this land. I think we're being very short-sighted in selling any land that the town owns, whether it's unknown owners or known owners or land that you've taken back for taxes. It doesn't matter to me what it is. I don't see the benefit in selling it.
Well, it was $63,000 that came into the town, and then all that land is now back on the tax roll.
Most of that land doesn't have frontage, so most of it is backland. So
correct.
The amount of taxes that you're going to incur are minimum.
Correct.
And $63,000.
Can I interject here, too? it's not a question of, they're by both New Hampshire and now federal case law, for at least tax-acquired properties, there really isn't a choice to be made. The town must sell these or provide the former owners and lien holders some sort of compensation for these properties by constitutional law. Right. So even if the proceeds are going to be modest, the town, at least in my opinion, has a constitutional obligation to move forward the sale of tax-acquired properties. Whether if it's a purely town-owned property, let's say it was a bequest to the town or a gift, your question is completely valid because the town can hold on to that property indefinitely.
Does that help at all, Colin?
Well, it helps a little, but I mean, then the question becomes, how many pieces actually did you take for back taxes? And if you're required to sell that, then I can't dispute the law. But in regard to these unknown owner pieces and pieces that the town just has somehow acquired, other than by taxes, I don't think we should sell any of it. I think we should keep it all. You can't make any more land, and we don't know what's going to happen in this community 50 years from now. 50 years from now, the people living here may be perfectly happy to have this land that isn't being used. I see no benefit.
It benefits the abutters.
Yeah.
It can benefit the abutters if they want to purchase it.
The tax impact would be negligible.
Well, I'm not saying anything with tax impact, but if an abutter wants to purchase a piece of land, this is the process to go about
it,
correct?
It may benefit the abutters, but that doesn't benefit the community.
Well, they're a part of the community.
Right now, we have land that's sitting there fallow, doing nothing, costing us nothing.
Well,
I just don't think you should sell it.
Carla, that's costing you $35,000 a year in property taxes that we're not collecting from it.
I think the property taxes that you will be taking in are insignificant.
After they put it in the current
and may I interject again, too, is that the process that we would be doing at the outset, before, so this is, I think, a conversation that the town ought to have potentially after the research is completed, because there is a good chance that many, if not most, of the properties are either just been owned by a private individual or owned by the town, and they're not necessarily suitable for sale. That, in my experience in doing the work for these other two towns, happens quite often, and I don't know the exact percentage, but it was something like 40 to 60% of the properties ended up not going to sale.
I can't
Rick, change. You had your hand up?
Yeah, I was just curious. Rick Lazart, I'm just curious, what happens if somebody buys a piece of backland, say it's 2 acres or 3 acres, and all of a sudden that puts them over the threshold so they can put most of their land in current use? What the tax benefit you're not going to see there,
right. Exactly.
If that allows them to go into current use,
exactly.
That's not going to work either. One of the things I was here about, Brian, and I'll be honest, is the piece down off of North Road. Well, actually, it's off of Fogarty Road. That it's town-owned property that gives us access to the backside of the pond, which is now called Soha, but it used to be. We used to have a Boy Scout
camp. Clara Thomas's
land. We used to have a Boy Scout camp there
that
she used to let us use. Well, if you go down Fogarty Road with the town-owned piece of property right there, you have access to the backside of that pond where you can go fishing. There's pretty darn good fishing down there, I can guarantee you that.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's a piece of property that I'm very concerned with staying in the town's ownership.
Okay. Kyle, you had something else you wanted to mention?
No, it's just I just would elaborate on the fact that I would like you to project 50 years from now when none of us will be here. And perhaps this land that we're going to sell for minimal amount of money, minimal amount of reward, may be very important 50 years from now. I think we're being short-sighted selling it. Mm-hmm. The money is not enough to make a difference in anybody's tax bill.
Okay. Tyler?
Tyler Frazier, 437 New Boston Road. I hope to be here in 50 years. I'll be about 85 years old. Hope to run someday and sit up there and hopefully give my two cents like these people are doing. They don't make land anymore. I think we should manage some of it. I think maybe we should work the land. Maybe we should cut the land. Maybe we should You know, maybe it's a little parcel between the library and the pond, or, you know, let's make it into something else. Let's work the land, because it's a renewable resource. It's going to make us, you know, money, and good things are going to come from that land for years. I plan on not leaving, so I hope to be here in 50 years, and I hope to see these pieces, you know, that are usable or that could be turned into something or added to the town, or maybe we could pick them up and then maybe add to that some, you know, someday. And definitely think about, you know, that pushing it over the, you know, the 10 acres. You also now they have 11, then you drop that. So, I mean, you're talking peanuts for money. And to have, you know, even one of these pieces have any sort of wood on them to be able to cut it, I mean, you'd make double that. I mean, you, everybody knows that. Just here to voice my opinion and say that.
Thank you.
Good. In the back, go ahead, Judith.
Judith at Libby Road. I just took something out of the paper last week. The town of Merrimack has a warrant article. A warrant article is being voted today to buy for $1.9 million to buy land because they want it's prime land for development. They also want to save it for parks. They think there's places for fields. They're trying to preserve the land. What we're talking about now is peanuts compared to what this land will be worth in the future. It could be used for just trails. When you think about, I think most of us in town here live near some place where you could just go out and you could walk in the woods. And there's something healing about just being out there, and all you hear is the birds. And so there's something magical, and we take that away when we get rid of this land. There's land next to me that for years we all walked on, and the new owner bought it, and the first thing he did was post all that land. And even though he rode his bike on it as a kid, he turns in kids that ride their bikes on it now. He has cameras everywhere. So all of that stuff has been, now because it's in private ownership, is being denied the rest of the town. Think of the town forest on Flint Road, where people can go in and people can walk, because we have had the foresight to save that. And I think something else that we need to consider is that we have a legislature that is working very hard to take away the town's rights to make their decisions on how they want to use their land. When I moved here, there was no concept about 55 and older. Suddenly we have, oh, we're going to preserve this, we're going to have 55 and older. We didn't have ADUs. Now suddenly we're allowed one by right and one by special exception. And you think of property, I think of where I live. There are four houses. There are six people in these four houses. If each of us puts on an indoor and an outdoor ADU, you're going from six people to 48 people who are using that water and trying to get rid of it. And I think that we really need to be thoughtful about what we're doing. I think we need to be thoughtful about what the legislature can do, because that 55 and older development can very easily become workforce housing when you can't fill it. That they change the laws all the time and take away our rights to govern. So I would really ask you to be very careful, especially that land that Tyler's talking about that accesses that old Boy Scout pond. What you're talking about is a rounding error for our taxes. It means nothing. It's not going to, I mean, if you save $25, what is it going to do 50 years from now for people who don't have access to anything, when we end up being like Merrimack or being a suburb of Manchester and people are crowded in and, you know, all you hear at night are sirens and screeching tires? I would ask you to think very carefully. I don't think this is a good idea.
Good. Anybody else?
You said
your name. Stan.
AJ George, 849 North Road. The property or the amount that you got last time, that was the gross number, the $63,500. What was the net?
That was the net.
That was the net, not the gross?
No.
Okay. For the lawyer, I have a question. What is your actual rate that you charge? You mentioned it several times.
10%. He gets the 10%.
The 10%, that's actually
a different
number.
Of the sales.
What is your hourly rate?
Yeah. That's what he wants.
So our municipal hourly rate for this, I think, is comparable to probably what your existing council is. I think it's $275 an hour.
So $275 an hour, so approximately, what, based on your stated, between $1,000 and $2,000, roughly 10 hours of work per property would be the maximum?
It would be, yeah, it would be between...
Or much less than that.
Sometimes it's 2 hours. Sometimes you get lucky and you find something right away. It can be $300, you know. It really depends, you know, but also you have to write your reports and things like that. It's generally a time-consuming process. That's the average, but... generally, it's much lower than 2,000. It's usually in the 500 to 1,500 range.
What was the assessed value of the previous properties you sold?
I don't recall off the top of my head. Anyone who was familiar with that auction understood that, you know, those parcels, despite their assessed values, were quite challenging and had quite a limited market. You know, I understand, you know, based on that auction alone, the hesitation to say, well, this is a lot of work for not a lot of reward. I'll mention, you know, doing an auction at Hooksett, you know, an unknown owner property that ended up, was assessed at $70,000, ended up selling for over $500,000. A lot of that money is going to go to the town. A lot of it depends on the quality of the property. If it ends up going to sale, as to what these can generate. And, you know, it can be quite a good revenue generator, both in the short and long term for the town. Of course, the town, I think it's wise, you know, to balance, you know, the pecuniary considerations with the preservation of the character of the town. I mean, Candy is a lovely town, and, you know, I live in a rural area, and I understand the importance of preserving that rural character. What we'd be doing in the near term is just figuring out what these properties are. And once we kind of get the world of information that we need, then the town and the townspeople can figure out how best to dispose of these properties or to retain these properties.
So based on the previous number being 201 and we received the 63,000 in change, it's about a quarter of what it was assessed at. So this 1.2 million number, which might make other town folk feel happy, like that's actually a sizable amount of money, could turn into 250,000 or something, which would not be a considerable amount of money in the first place, plus your 10% fee on top of it, which I respect, you have to make money, you're in business for yourself, but that seems like not a great thing to do for the town, I guess.
But what I'm saying, though, too, is that, you know, the assessed value is just, you know, it's not necessarily an indicator of what the property is going to sell for at auction. And the Hooksett example, the assessed value of this property was like $80,000 and it sold for over $500,000. I mean, that's an extreme example. But, you know, there are instances where the assessed value is not a good indicator of what it actually fetches on auction day. So in the near term, if you're looking for what the town can recoup from these sales, it could be actually quite substantial. I can't make any... you know, kind of predictions about this because of the volatility of the real estate market, as well as, you know, what properties will end up being sold, if any, from this research. But, you know, I think it's not necessarily the last auction in Candy is not necessarily representative of what a future auction of one or more of these properties could yield for the town.
So it could also be worse?
I mean, it could, but
that would be highly, highly unlikely.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
As far as mentioning that you're also in a rural community, we've seen multiple large developments happen within the last few years that I've only lived here a few years, but we're going to see the one that's right up the road here, and then we're going to see another one right up the road. We're talking about removing, I know they were hearing things out about removing the impact fees on that. I don't know why the town would want.
No, don't say that because that's not true.
It's a different subject.
It's a totally different issue, and there was no decision made on that.
Irregardless, when the town does sell the properties, as the rules by the state legislature change, some of these properties might be open for even more development, which would cause the town to lose more of its rural nature, as we see. Row homes coming in.
Yeah, Judith is correct that the state is really pushing hard to get take away local control.
Correct, and as we sit now, they can't force you to sell the property
correct.
Or do anything with it.
Right.
Right.
Tyler?
Like I had mentioned last time when they were selling these properties before, there was a few properties that were in the middle of very good landowners that would connect that one missing puzzle piece to, you know, there's 3 acres or there's a half an acre between a big developer and a big developer, and then you connect that, then you're talking roads, you're talking all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So make sure when we look at those maps that we're not, you know, putting our, you know, foot somewhere we don't want it to be, and then all of a sudden, oh, we sold this, but now it connects the dots, and now you have this person that's been slowly collecting these little pieces that now has a roadway through a greenway or around a greenway or around a development or anywhere. I mean, it's just sometimes takes patience for these guys to buy this land. It might be a generation or two from now, but they're going to take and, you know, slowly accumulate those pieces. So not that we want to put a stop to all development, because I think we should develop it in moderation. I'm a builder myself. I plan on living here. I want to see things, you know, get bigger, but in a slow scale. So I just want to make sure you guys consider when you look at these pieces that one of those little pieces doesn't connect for the big developers' plans that might hurt the town later on, that's all.
Okay, you got a question, sir?
With all due respect, the last time we sold the properties, I was under the assumption that we would get the money from selling the properties. And that's not what happened. All the town was eligible for is to get the taxes. And the rest of the money had to go to the people who owned it.
Right.
Now, I didn't realize that when I voted for it. So I do apologize for that part. I do realize it now. And we have land here on commercial land and this and that. And I agree with Carla 100% and Tyler. They don't make land anymore. We don't have to do this. And I just don't see the rush for a potential, you know, assessed value that says $1,175,000. But I just don't see it happening. If you look at these maps and like that, I really don't see it happening. And I wish we had the maps like this for the public to look at before we make a decision. I hate to kick this can down again, but it seems like they'd like to look at it. Maybe they're interested in buying. Maybe they don't want it sold.
Well, we don't have a map.
We don't have to make a decision tonight.
Beg your pardon?
We don't have to make a decision tonight.
Well, we do. We should make a decision tonight.
Yeah, the decision has to be either to move forward or no.
Or
why can't you table it?
Yeah, put it on hold.
And
I mean, again,
this.
You're entitled to make your money like that, but I just think I think there's other priorities in town. Maybe that's what I think.
I mean, it'd be nice to do the research to figure out who owns them, but I don't want the stipulation on selling the land to find out who owns them.
You're not going
to
get that done unless we agree to go through with the process.
Well, we could do the big acreage
we're not doing
our
it.
Own.
No, too expensive.
Paying for it.
Well, what do you say? $1,000 to $2,000 per title search? Worst case?
So you want to do 17 times
2,000? No, the big ones.
I just would rather wait till the community, the residents get some of this information that we have to make this decision. I mean, I don't know if we have to make it today, do we, sir?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, but also just so you know, this process can take months.
Okay.
So, you know, if the town is looking to, you know, do this process and, you know, kind of figure this out even in 2027, you know, it may make sense to kind of start sooner rather than later, just because I can tell you this is a very time-consuming process, mm-hmm. just with everything involved, not just the research, but also potential notices, mm-hmm. you know, gathering information from abutters. It's involved. It's not really involved so much with staff, it's really involved on my time. So I'm exceedingly busy, so if you guys also... You know,
so it won't be a problem if we wait a little bit.
About it, I'm totally in support. I provided this in part to the town because there seemed to be some desire for additional research into one or more unknown owner properties when we were doing the auction last fall, which is why I reached out about potentially you know, starting this project now.
I got a
question for him.
Wait a minute, please. This was your baby, so
all right,
what do
well,
you...
Weston, I just kind of did the math here. The last time you sold our property last fall, The total assessed value for everything was about $201,000. Out of that, we got $63,500. So we got just a little over 30% of the assessed valuation. If you apply that same ratio to these properties that we want to sell today, we got about $1.2 million. If we're going to get a third of that back, it's what? $40,000? No, it's not 400.
300.
Okay. But it's unlikely that we're going to get a third of that back at this auction.
I think it's unlikely.
I don't think I've done the math right either.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
We got 63,000 out of 201,000.
So one of them.
Out of 1.175,000, we're not going to get anywhere near what it's worth to this town to sell these properties.
Agreed.
So I think this is a mountain I don't want to die on. I don't see where the yield, the return is worth the investment here.
So you have a motion or a proposal?
Well, I don't want to table this and keep Weston on the hook, but I think it's pretty clear.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we table it, and he's busy right now, I don't think he'll be upset about that. If we, I mean, we keep him certainly in mind.
Well, we ought to tell the people in the audience here
what were you proposing to do?
I'd like to make a motion to just table it. Myself.
I would move to terminate the whole process.
Oh, that's okay, dude.
Trying to get at.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I'll second that. Yes.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Stephanie, she's
here. I have a question. This winter, it was December, we had a family come to us, asked us to sell them an unknown owner property, mm-hmm. and we consulted our lawyer, and he said not a good idea because you can't decide who owned it.
Well, that's the next issue.
That's another issue coming up.
Because then if we're going to go and
sell the same thing that we said no to.
But
so
that's
we have
the work that he would be doing would be
yeah, but
to figure
they
out.
They offered to pay for the work to be done.
Right.
All right, there's a motion on the table.
And a second.
But it would have to go to auction to sell it properly. That's the problem.
All in favor of terminating the process?
Board.
Steph.
Sue.
Brian, that was unanimous.
Weston, we're sorry we wasted your time on this, sir.
No, we still have some back.
This is a good process. You're aware of it. If you ever want to, talk about it again,
thank you.
I'm always happy to, have this discussion again. I think that, the town should, think about this in the future, kind of cleaning up its books and figuring out what these unknown owner properties are, at least at the, outset, is always a good thing to do. I'm not going anywhere, so I'm always happy to have a discussion.
We have you on the phone. Can you tell us when we're going to get the rest of the proceeds from our previous auction?
They're waiting for the taxes.
What's the holdup?
They're waiting
for
candy.
So we've paid the town for 6 of the 9 properties. We're just waiting on calculations from the town about what is owed in back taxes, interest costs, and penalty for the 3 of the remaining 9 properties. And once we have that, we'll issue the proceeds to the town. It could be for the entire amount that the sale realized.
Well, Weston, who's responsible for developing this information? Who in the town is going to do this for you?
Typically, the tax collector does it for towns. Towns do it differently, but that's most common.
Okay.
Okay. Tyler, does that answer your question, Tyler?
I just want to make sure you're not going to. This is over with, right? You're not going to bring it back at
the next motion?
No.
I don't know about any previous board, but this board terminated it.
Yeah, this board did.
You're done with it.
We're done with it.
Thank you.
My question was just to him: was how did he land upon Candia for? How did he choose Candia to start looking into?
He didn't choose Candia.
You guys chose him to look into.
We chose him.
So not once it reached out to him to sell the land and
Yeah, Boyd did some research to find out if that was possible to get somebody to do this and without charging the town.
But the land whatever we sold last time was town owned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is all unknown.
That's right.
So we had a legal responsibility to sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
What RSA is that?
80.
Do you have that RSA?
I need that now.
Is that 80-80?
Or
Weston?
Yeah, RSA 80 is the tax deed
that says we have to sell it.
Of the RSAs.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, I guess this is a question for Brian, and I'm a newbie here. I'm trying to understand the process. So we have land that's owned by the town of Candia. What in the town rules and regulations allows the selectmen to sell Candia-owned property without going to the voters?
In 1963, the town was granted that authority under RSA 4114A. It was a warrant article, and we know that because Amy had to look it up today for somebody.
What was that, Brian? There was a warrant?
It was a warrant article. What was the year?
1963.
1963. Or 65. They gave the authority to the Board of Selectmen to deal with that.
So we can get another warrant article to reverse that.
Yes.
So we have to put this to vote.
Yeah.
But then he said we are legally... We're legally...
Only after you...
Yeah, not for this. Not for the unknown.
Tax deeded. Okay.
Go free for all, please.
This is completely different than that.
Right. Rick?
I'd just like to make a comment. Now, supposedly that land that we're talking about here was assessed, we'll say roughly $1 million. And you're talking about possibly getting a third of that back, okay? But that doesn't include how much you might have to give to the people who still own it if you find out that somebody actually owned it.
But these are all unknown ownership.
Right now they're unknown, but they could find out that there is somebody.
In which case we wouldn't sell it because it's not owned by us.
Okay. All right. That was my point, because the last time all we got back was basically the back taxes on
that.
Yeah,
correct.
Am I correct on that?
That and interest, yep.
That interest. Okay. Yep. I just wanted to clarify.
Because the town's not in the real estate business.
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
So
never were.
And just so you know, too, like, you know, if the town, I understand the term, the vote's been already been made and, you know, it's been terminated, and that's fine. But, you know, having the, if it has, but it's just mostly, you know, about figuring out at this stage what these are. Because someone could also be owning this and hasn't been paying taxes on it for a long time.
Right.
In which case, the town is just sitting on these parcels and it's just not collecting the revenue that it should otherwise be receiving. That can't happen. So that's all this would be at this juncture. And then once we sort of winnow the properties down to ones the town could eventually sell, you know, then we can, you know, kind of meet. And sometimes I've recommended the town not sell properties for various reasons, even if they're not under conservation, because it could impede, you know, access to a river or a body of water or something like that.
I think, Weston, not to interrupt you, but I'm going to anyways.
Again, I don't want to, you know.
I think we're done.
We voted on it.
We're done.
I just want to mention that. This is different from the last agreement we had with the town to just sell the properties. This is more just sort of preliminary research to figure out what needs to be done, if anything, with these 17 persons.
All right. Thank you, Weston.
Thank you.
We're good.
Is anybody's hand up, right, Linda?
We're good.
Nope.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. All right. We're good on that, I hope.
Yep.
Okay, the next item, Matt Phillips and the Georges. This came up because at the planning board, Mr. George came and he asked that parcel that they've come to the board about a while back. They were hoping that the board would not make that part of this unknown property sale, because they wanted to pay for the legal costs for finding out legally if they could buy it, and to pay the back taxes. And I told them at the time that board didn't have the authority, nor did I. I couldn't speak for the Board of Selectmen. So I told them, you know, why don't you come to the next meeting? So that's why they're here.
Okay.
So without, I don't know who's going to speak.
Well, I'll try.
But you don't have to go through all the history that we've already discussed 100 times.
Well,
please.
None of these people know about what happened. We met with the board last September. Pardon?
Yep, September 8th.
Yeah. Last September, our desire to purchase lot 4039, very end of North Road. Basically, big pond, not much land to it. Board asked us at that time if we'd put it into conservation. We didn't want to do it at that time.
because we wanted to absorb the property and keep and bring it into ours, which we plan on preserving for the future and our children. And we feared the cost of conservation at the time. So that's why we slowed down on it. And your legal team said not to proceed any further at that time. So after that, we've been in touch with Crystal Belanoff with Bear Paw and Wayne Hyde with Southeast Land Trust. This communication's been going on for several months now, and this week we have a meeting with them at the property because we really want to see what they're about and what the cost is. Both have indicated, are indicating they're really interested in preserving this parcel in conservation for the future. We have, we've had the planning board support and the conservation support last year. Remember, we have gave you a letter from them. They're indicating that what our intentions are true. We have a letter from SELT, Southeast Land Trust, that verifies our collaboration efforts with us, and my wife can read the letter that was sent to us for you.
So I'll read that. I'm looking forward to meeting with you on the 16th to discuss conservation options for the tract of land along North Road that you're interested in securing from the town, tax lot 403, lot 9. You reached out to me in 2025 and again in 2026 with the hopes that if you were able to acquire the property, SELT would be interested in holding a conservation easement on the property. I'm awaiting full resource evaluation from my coworker in a lead up to our meeting, but my preliminary review of the resource values of this property are that it is of conservation significance and was worth seeing firsthand and learning more about. In particular, one of the key factors we considered is in 2021, Coastal Watershed Conservation Plan and this property is located within one of the regionally significant focus areas, identified in the plan. Note that the plan went beyond the coastal watershed in some areas. In addition, New Hampshire Fish and Game Wildlife Action Plan indicates this is an area of highest ranking habitat in the state. Lastly, the property has excellent conservation context with what appear to be abutting or at least nearby conserved land. I look forward to our initial meeting so I can learn more about the status, etc. And I can give you copies of this if you'd like.
So, if this land goes into conservation, it can never be built.
Correct.
How much do you own now?
80 acres.
Thank you.
It was like a dirt road, and if we did this, we'd be able to build one house.
My son has...
There's no possibility.
No, there's no building
okay.
On it.
Yeah. I just remember kind of seeing that.
That's not part of the 80 acres either. I live on 64 acres across the street. It's a completely different parcel.
He doesn't abide it at all.
I don't.
I do.
You do.
I have 50 acres on the north side.
Okay.
That I would like to build a house on someday and have the pond across the street remain a pond forever.
Okay.
So if I could add some color to this, which is I think what we've been proposing is, I know you guys know all this, but I'll try to keep it really brief, which is there's the auction process,
please.
And then there's an alternative method as justice may require, which allows you the discretion to say, okay, because of the unique nature of this property and because somebody is proposing to do something with it that the town may want, the board could authorize the transfer of that land for that purpose, separate from the auction process, and that it would account for all of the issues of it being unknown, et cetera.
So the auction process has gone away.
That's
so now
right, I'm just speaking theoretically, right? So the legislature anticipated this situation, and there is a mechanism for the board to be able to do this. So that's what we're...
So I guess cut to the chase. What is your request to the board?
To let us Well, we basically want to buy it.
We take on the risk of doing all the research that they would have done. We do that, our cost. We do that, we take care of the surveying.
Surveying, everything, and all the legal fees.
So that is our proposal.
And put it into conservation.
And you, I think you said at the planning board meeting, you'd pay all the back taxes that's owed on it too?
We would like to sit down and talk about that.
That was before conservation.
Because conservation is significantly high.
Yeah.
So both would probably cost us more than, even way more than the value of that property.
The thing we're worried about is if somebody does buy it and then wants to put another house down there.
And does things unethically to get that pond not to be a pond.
Yeah.
So
that's terrifying to us.
It's assessed at $123,500 for the 12 acres.
Yeah.
They've got, it's not in current use. That's why it's.
And it's a pond.
And we're, so it's a pond that people can access now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that the community can access it.
Definitely.
So if it becomes conservation, you can't put do not trespass, or?
No.
Yeah, there's certain things you can.
No.
You can.
That's why we're meeting with Southeast Land Trust this week.
Because they'll explain you the do's and don'ts of it, yeah.
Exactly.
I just think, didn't we just make a decision to table some of this?
Because of our lawyers said no.
No, not that, we had a discussion a while back and our lawyer said, don't get involved in that.
Don't get involved.
That's why we're taking the risk, we're doing the research.
But then we had it on the list to sell it auction, for them to do the same work they want to pay.
Exactly.
Correct.
They weren't gonna sell it to.
And I could not give them guidance from the board at the planning board meeting, I told them to come here so that the board can make that decision.
So.
Don't we already have a legal decision on whether we should sell land in private sale like this?
It was the unknown owner piece.
The unknown owner piece.
Right, and he said not to.
Well, it's still private sale.
He said not to.
Correct.
But how is that different?
It's conservation.
They were gonna do the title.
In a public auction, you're competing against other bidders and that determines the fair market value. In a private sale.
It's gonna go into conservation, right?
I know.
What we're trying to do is stay with the conservation committee's master plan as well as the town's master plan. Undeveloped.
How does one
country?
How does one get on this property?
You go down North Road.
End of North Road.
It's on the right.
Is this it right here? I'm sorry. That's it, correct? The 12.2?
Yep.
And what's that road?
That's the Hooksett Town Line.
Oh, okay.
It abuts.
And so where's the road in regards to this? If I want to go to that.
It's a dirt road, right?
It's a dirt road.
Oh, it's all North Road, okay.
Yeah.
You're not driving to it.
No.
You're not going to drive. You're walking.
Oh, no.
You may want to walk.
It's not drivable.
It's so walking.
I think the immediate ask is to sit down and talk about what would be involved in getting to a place where the board would be comfortable moving forward with this, including with the legal issues, and potentially signing something that says, if you transfer it, then we will also put it, you know, then we agree to do it in conservation in a way that everybody can trust the process.
We're going to negotiate this in public in a meeting right here in this room.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's not fair to the other
people.
That's
how it has to go down.
I
would like to sit. I would like to have a conversation with our town council.
Yeah.
Personally. Before we proceed any further.
And let him know that we were gonna possibly put it on an auction list. As well.
That's right.
So.
Is that acceptable to the board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just chose not to auction anything off, and now we're talking about basically.
Well, that's because
that's
this
in
was,
a butter.
This
in
was,
yeah, but
this
so
had some
other
history
people
that they came up to us before on it.
Yeah, other people have interests. I might have interests.
Excuse me, Brian, would you explain to people? I don't think everybody really understands what this is that you're talking about.
What part of it?
All of it.
All of it?
These properties?
Who owns the land?
Nobody. Unknown.
It's an unknown.
So it's one of the unknowns. Yeah. So you've got to do the research to find out who the known
is. If you want to sell it.
They said they were going to do the research.
And if they're willing to do the research, if, in fact, once the research is done,
right.
we would then sell them the
correct.
Land.
Yes. Correct.
And they would guarantee yes. that once they own the land,
that it's in
they would put a conservation easement
correct.
On it.
Correct.
I just want to make sure everybody knows what you're
Well, I thought about. He did a good job in playing, but maybe
thank,
not.
Thank you for early stating.
So that's acceptable to the board? Yeah. I can do that? Okay. Because I want to give Mike some different options and get his that's feedback from it before we go any further. All right?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you going to send a request to, for a legal opinion to Mike?
Is that yes. What
yeah.
I just had a question about that. Could the town then go and put that in self with self?
What
we would have, so we would have to do the research.
The town could, right. I'm just asking if the town could do what they're doing.
If we did the research and we got the deed for it, then yeah, we could do all that.
Yeah. Be costly. Yes, Tyler.
No. Yes. So now, salt land, you're selling.
Hey, Jeff, it's just enough so it.
No, that's fine. So the salt land, you can, you're selling the building rights. You're the you know, whatever. That's the building rights. But now they're still in salt. You can still manage it, log it, do everything you want to it, except for build a house or dwelling.
Right. Conservation encourages that.
To do, I think it's everything but like coal mine. Blast rock. There's like I think mm-hmm. a small list of things that
yep.
you can do, but they could still farm it. They could sure. still cut wood off cut it. Wood, they could yeah. still do make money off that land and do things they wanted to do. They just right. can't build a house. That's what self. I don't know what bear paw is, but
same thing.
So you
same
can
thing.
Still if you yep. put in a bear paw, yeah. they can still work the land and use the land, but they right. just can't do housing or anything.
Although it is a pond.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but just I'm just saying like yeah. there is like you can it's just never gonna like no cut there. You can still work it, you can
right.
still do
yeah.
things
all
with
right.
the land.
You good?
Yep, I'm good.
Oh good. Anybody else?
To the light, that's all.
Good way? You good? Okay. All right, policy review. Is that you, Amy?
It is.
Yeah, this is closely aligned with the state.
Yes, yeah. And it's been reviewed
yeah,
by
exactly. exactly.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's just new and needs to be.
Did anybody read
adopted.
It? What the right
yeah.
to know?
The right
well,
to know.
I mean, I was just going to make a motion, move it along here.
Yeah, yeah.
It was it's fine.
Make the motion.
Wait,
one thing, I'm just trying to find
thank
it.
Thank you.
Because I didn't see it on paper before. I just was reading it off my phone.
Oh.
The part where it was the payment for it.
Oh, the the charge for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like $1 a page or something.
The wording of things was threw me off a little bit.
And K on page 3. Section
yeah.
K.
Government records belong to the public, and to ensure such records are made available to the public free of damage, all towns should be allowed to copy these records.
Can we
up
that?
Probably.
Said
I don't know if we can. They were talking about that. You can only go so far. To ask on the fees. It has to be like what it actually costs. The ink and the paper.
Ink's expensive.
It's
we're not going to
yes,
that
it was a lawsuit. They would charge
no,
too
that's
much.
No, that's not what it was. It was something else.
A different section?
There was
section?
Some wording that was not right. Now I can't find it. I should have printed it.
Well, right. When did you review it? Because
oh,
was,
has it changed?
Yeah,
since
so
since
the first
okay.
one I sent, and then this is the revised
okay.
by town
yeah.
council
okay.
with their edits. This all is
because right. it was, I actually probably have it in my
yeah.
notes on my phone.
He probably
okay.
mixed it.
Oh, good?
Yes.
Can I make a motion? Or
yeah,
do you want some time, Patrick?
No, I think you figured it out.
All set. I'll make a motion to accept the right to know request policy as written.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Ryan.
Pat.
Good job,
good.
Man.
Thank you.
Thank
do, you
wanna,
do you all want to sign it tonight?
Sure.
The other one, the investment policy, it's already been adopted, just the audit company requires that you review it once a year. So this is just the
yeah.
annual review because they're coming next month.
Reviewed.
Yeah, maybe.
Sounds good to me. You need a motion, or we're all set?
Motion to accept this as presented.
I'll second it.
Steph?
Sue?
Brian? Perfect.
And then the credit card policy, also already adopted, just for your review.
So this is a review right here.
I'll make a motion.
You need a stamp.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Brian?
Sue?
Steph?
Brian?
Amy, would you change the effective dates on all of these?
Yes. Well, no, the effective dates on those first two should stay the same. This is just the review date.
That's when they were adopted.
Yeah, this is a review date. So the only one that's effective today is the right to know request.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I'm all about this one.
Then we got, is that it on that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Short and sweet.
Snow ordinance.
Yeah, let's do it.
Coming down hard on them.
It was put together by me and Boyd.
Yeah.
So essentially what it is what we spoke about in past meetings. Essentially it's really just, make sure you're cleaning the snow out.
Yeah. This is a proposed ordinance to remove prohibiting the removal of ice or snow across town road. No person shall put or place or cause to be put or placed any snow or ice upon the surface of the traveled portion of any road, nor shall such snow and ice be put or placed on a road so as to block sidewalks and hydrants. We have some of that?
We do have hydrants, no sidewalks.
Yeah, but some dry hydrants.
I don't want to start with sidewalks.
Where snow and ice is pushed across the traveled surface of a road for the purpose of snow removal from a land adjoining said road, it must be pushed from the traveled way so as not to block the road, and any remaining on the surface of the traveled portion of the road shall be cleared up. That's what a lot of people don't do. They leave the windrow.
This sounds like a Boyd paper.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we actually found that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we did actually find that ordinance from another town.
I'm kidding.
Any person who violates the provision of this ordinance shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and be subject to a civil penalty of $50. That's it.
This is not going to take the place of what we have done in the past. It's not like we're going to have the police out there, giving out tickets left and right.
Oh, we want to.
But we are going
to. You got to write a $500 penalty.
I do. We do have some sort of enforcement.
The vacation
side.
That we, can back it up if we do have issues.
Because I hate driving along, and all of a sudden you're like, what I will say is, we have a second paragraph, and snowbanks
come out.
Two lines up from the middle there, and it's.
In the second paragraph.
Remaining snow and ice.
Snow and ice.
Because now it just says remaining on the surface.
Yeah. Or you could say anything remaining, whatever.
Okay, do you need a motion?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll make a motion to accept the ordinance. Is that what it's called?
As amended,
yeah. Yeah, ordinance as written.
Yeah.
Oh, for snow and ice removal.
I'll second it as amended. With
as amended.
As amended, yeah.
So this, like, post this on the town website in November every year or something? Yeah. Or
might as well.
Keep a
check.
The only thing is, it's just a misdemeanor. Mm. I think it's going to be a violation.
Misdemeanor is a bit stiff. It's a town ordinance.
And felonies, right? Town ordinance should fall in a separate.
Come on, misdemeanor.
We don't have a jail to put
so,
him in.
So we get rid of the misdemeanor too?
I think you got to get rid of the misdemeanor.
If you go south of the border, it's a felony. So.
Yeah, really?
So, Chad, you want to just call it a violation instead of a misdemeanor?
Yeah, it should be considered.
Civil? Violation?
I gotta look at the verbiage, like what another town uses, but I know it's not.
It's not.
Well, you must have got that from somebody.
I think the city that we took it from takes it pretty seriously, because you should have seen the fine for it.
Oh.
What was it?
High.
I was closer to it.
You can it was like $1,500.
$1,500?
For who?
It was a deal at $500. That's what I wanted.
Bedford? I thought it was Bedford.
How much?
$500.
$500.
No, that was the only thing I had.
Wow.
I was like, surprised. A lot of money.
Wow. What happens if you get it twice?
Hey. Yeah, what's 3,000?
Oh, is that an HOA?
Yeah.
But if you hit one of those at the end of somebody's driveway with your truck in the middle of the night, it's going to break your plow. It's going to cost you 3,000 to fix it.
Exactly.
It's the big humps in the road that narrow the road down.
Yeah.
It's bad.
They don't realize. They think they push it in, the truck will push it over.
And
no.
Once it freezes.
It sits two or three nights there, and it's hot as a rock. Well, they don't.
The other thing that people don't think about, too, is if we've made our last pass.
Exactly.
And people snow blow or whatever out in the road, you know, either we're not there, the bus could be coming by, or somebody in just a regular car that doesn't have a lot of clearance.
Mm.
And even still, just to have the plow come out and push it out of the road, that costs money. You know what I mean? So.
Cost more than $50.
Yeah.
So you want to change that word to a misdemeanor to get that out
of
there?
You want to table this until we can get
the verbiage
worded correctly?
Or violation of expenses or something.
Yeah.
We got
8 months. Don't worry about it.
We better.
Yeah, we got 8 months. We better.
Don't say that. You're going to come back.
Oh, no.
Is that what you wanted to do, Chip?
Yeah. The town policy, it shall be unlawful for any persons to plow, shovel, or otherwise cause to be moved snow from private property onto public roadway.
That's all?
Yeah.
Violations and penalties.
Yeah, penalties.
Violations of this chapter, whatever number you designate as a town ordinance, will be subject to a fine of not less than $50.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Good. Then you can determine it.
Then you just handwrite it.
Yeah, they really need to add.
Yeah.
Well,
handwrite it.
Yeah.
Habitual?
I
like that.
I don't know. I don't think $50 addresses stupidity.
Oh, Linda.
Go ahead.
Does that mean, like, when they plow and you complain because they plow it back out into
right.
the road? Right. Yes. Exactly.
So annoying.
I thought you were going to throw him under the bus.
She listens to me all the time when we're driving around. I said, look at that over there. So you want him to print that up
perfect.
And do that? Or?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
So if we just make the motion and
the way
go ahead
he has
with it,
it,
then the way Chief's got it,
we
want to do that?
Okay.
Linda knows how to word it.
Somebody want to make a motion that we approve?
Not to put the weight
suggested?
Of the snow on
your
shoulders.
We'll make a motion with his suggestions.
I'll second to sit down.
Okay. All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd. Brian.
Back.
Perfect. Thanks, Chief.
So the decision was to let Chad finish this up. Is that
right? Yeah, exactly.
To get the verbiage down.
Yeah.
Get the verbiage down. I like it. That's long overdue, though, Jeff. All right, Boyd, roadside cleanup.
Yeah, this is, we did this last year in conjunction with Earth Day. Well, this year, the Canyon Women's Club and the Boy Scout Troop 120 are going to be doing it just a couple of days before April 22nd. So they wanted our participation. They wanted us to put these posters up at the recycling center. So we got a poster up here. We got a poster that's similar to this one at the recycling center. And I went up to Epsom and picked up the bags from New Hampshire.
Oh,
beautiful.
Good.
So people can put the stuff in the bag, and when they get to the recycling center, they don't have to recycle it.
Oh,
they don't
right.
have to sort it.
They don't have to sort it?
They sort it.
Because it's
they
got that
it.
Special bag that
yeah.
says,
yeah, that's
this
right.
is
just
roadside. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Can you just go anywhere, or are there certain areas assigned to groups?
What's that?
I want to speak to that.
Go ahead, Rick.
What's this?
Yeah. Sign
each of them.
The Women's Club has from the post office to exit 3 and back. They've been doing this for years, all right?
Okay.
And so what we don't want anybody to do is pick up the bags that they set on the side because they get credit for those.
From the state. From the state.
They do?
They get credit for those from the state.
Yeah,
so
Russ
so my wife
filled his truck
my wife asked, See, my wife's running it Friday and Saturday this weekend. It's coming up. And that's when they're doing it Friday and Saturday.
What kind of credit they get? Like money credit? I mean, they get a dollar credit?
A charitable donation.
Charitable donation for each bag, I think.
So if you gather anywhere around town, we'll put
it
out.
Give it to Rick.
I'm not privy to that.
Put it on Rick's property.
Welcome to Candy Assign.
So you could just take a bunch of the bags and move them up with air.
From the exit back to the post office and back, and they've been doing that.
So where do you want us to leave it? At your house?
No. The ladies who clean the roadside, they leave the bags there, and the state will come pick them up and give us credit.
So we'll add our bags.
She was busting your chops.
Oh, that's all right.
He's used to it.
He's going
to
get it when he goes home.
Marriage. I'm used to that. Yeah.
I saw all the trash on the exit, you know, so exit 3, you're coming up and around in between. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah. But like,
terrible.
To pick it up, though.
Will the state eventually go out and pick it up?
Oh, yeah. They get out there. Just about July 1st. It's fully mold.
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, I was like,
all right, we all good with that, boys?
Yep.
Okay. Good idea. 250 celebration update, Linda.
We went out to Carla, and I heard from her and from Paul LeBlanc, and they are going to have the building open, the Smith Memorial Building.
Nice, good.
In the afternoon on that date. They haven't decided on a time, but it's going to work good within that area with what we have going on.
With the activities that are going on up there, right?
Yep. And they're going to have a small flyer made up to give out the guests that come in and a history of the building.
Nice.
So that'll be good. And let's see. I also talked to Diane Philbrook. Did you know that the statue was refurbished a while ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been waxed in 10 years.
Oh.
So that's another project that they're going to be working on.
Oh, the.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's just taking,
I don't
like
want to say felons, the, those guys.
No. She's going to find out who can do it, but they need to get staging to do the work and stuff. But I thought, well, that's really nice if they're going to keep that updated.
Oh, yeah.
And
thanks.
Let's see. I'm reaching out. I got all the vendors from Melissa, so I got to send an email probably tomorrow to all of them. And this is where I need you guys. I need you to help me, because I'm having difficulty with any fireworks, money, and permission. So apparently it's a specific verbiage I have to use, reaching out to the insurance company. And
to Primex, you mean?
Yeah. So
they
that's
want
what
a licensed insured company.
They want what?
They will only insure a licensed insured company, pyrotechnic.
Oh.
But it's only. So I did talk to Carlton, and he told me that we're only using Class C fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to be licensed. So I'm getting a lot of contradicting information, and I'm like,
I know, but that it was still the question of liability for the town. That was our question, Class C or not.
Right.
I mean,
they say no.
If something gets hurt, so.
I'm hoping, I mean, is there anything we can do to raise, to help me get some money?
Who knows the guy in Hooks It? The guy in Hooks It, once a year, he wants to light all his new fireworks off because he doesn't know what they look like. And he'll do it for free. Once a year. I don't know if this is the time or not. The guy in Hooks It. Is he still alive?
Sounds like you volunteer for that.
Oh, no. I don't want to owe him any favors.
I mean, I can hold a can at first stop. I can hold a can at first stop. Oh, actually, we should find some kids.
Well, he came in and he put $10, the guy from One Stop. I was
telling
him about it.
Because where'd you get the estimate? You got the estimate of 10 grand, right?
There was one guy who was willing to go down even to 10 grand, yes.
Yeah, but that's not Class C. Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
if that guy.
I mean, I just don't.
10 grand's a lot.
See,
that's a lot of money.
$250 doesn't come around forever.
It doesn't.
There's got to be some people in town that would want to donate. Tax write-off, right?
I've been writing to everybody. Crickets. And another thing I need, volunteers. I've had a sign here for 2 weeks. So I need some help.
This is sign.
I can't. The people who are in the committee, I mean, they're willing to do a few hours, but I'm gonna need a lot of help.
What are the hours of the whole thing?
2 o'clock is gonna start the vendors at the park at more.
So we don't do the parade first?
Nope.
See, that's
the parade is starting, well, it actually starts at 5. At 4 o'clock is Sons of the American Revolution is from 4 till 5.
Okay.
They're doing a wreath ceremony and a veteran ceremony.
Up there?
Yep. Then the parade.
Then the parade.
Yep.
Leads into the fireworks.
Well.
Wow.
Fireworks.
Sparklers, whatever.
We're going to have the regular flea market vendors are going to be at the library. And over here, we're going to have everybody, like, I've got Agricultural Commission, we've got a church, we've got a whole bunch of community people that are going to be on this side with their tents.
And fireworks will be up at the school?
Yeah, we were at the fireworks. That's where they were.
The last time we did them, they were at the school.
They were at the school.
Right? Mm. Shoot them over the pond.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That house here.
Who did him at the
school? If he doesn't take care of it.
I don't know.
Was it? Was it? It.
That was a long time ago.
Rick?
Yeah. I was around for the 200th celebration, okay, that took place here in this town. So was Sue and Dean and everybody, because the fire department was the big mover, shaker, and mover on that situation, on the 200th celebration. And all the fireworks were set off right behind the Moore School. That's where we set everything off for years through the fire department. You know that,
yeah.
Brian. That's,
yeah.
That's where everything was done. So, but the only thing, I just like to make a comment. I know the women's club, I believe, I'll probably step in the puddle here, but wanted to combine with you guys for the Old Home Day and 250 combined. And I guess they were turned down. Some reason, but anyway, I'm just saying it.
Oh, I think partly that was Mira, because I thought that really should be celebrated separately.
Well, I can go along with you on that. I can see that, but I'm just saying, as far as getting more volunteer effort to help out, the Women's Club are a great.
Is
one of the best organizations in the town of Candia to draw from.
Oh, they're welcome to chip into this, but I didn't think that should be combined.
What's that?
I did send them an email last week. I did.
Okay. I mean, I've just been catching bits and pieces of what's been going on, because I'm not privy to the...
I just didn't want both celebrations together, because I thought the 250 was real important.
Right. Oh, I agree. I mean, just like the 200 we had, that was a great thing.
Yeah. All right, I don't know, that fireworks is going to be a sticky thing.
Right.
Tyler, isn't that something you guys do?
You can just have somebody private do it on their own land.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shoot it off from the
That's an idea.
Have
That's
some right. rich guy up on the hill there, light them off, and they'll shoot right over.
Who
the
owns this White House right over here?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
like the
said if it catches on fire,
use it as a training exercise.
You can privately do it.
I don't know. We're getting down to the wire here too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take that.
The Airbnb we can ask.
We're out. Only 10 weeks away.
I know.
So that and volunteers is your two issues, Linda?
Yeah.
Do you know what you have a list of what you need for volunteers for what activities and stuff or what?
I'm going to need at least one or two people for the farmers market people. I'll need one person here. I'll probably need 3 people for the parade so they know which order to go in. Trying to think of what
else.
There's so many things.
The 27th. I mean, there are things that kids can do. Or if you sent out a list of who goes where on the parade, that takes care of that.
Mm-hmm. I want an information booth so people can pick up. I'm going to make it a flyer so people can read it and know what time.
What time, what's going on.
How about the Historical Society? Like Maggie. Is that historical?
Maggie?
Richter. Is that historical?
Yeah,
with,
but...
With Lewis. I mean, they could... They might... They might want to help. The group might want to help. We'll talk later.
Yeah.
Can I even mention that? Because he'll get me going.
I wonder, even if it's the fire department, and I did reach out to Chuck, and he's going to ask his guys if they're interested in being a part of it. Maybe we could pay them for the day, and they could...
Tell them we'll feed them dinner. We'll feed them lunch.
What about CYAA? Are they involved at all?
I want a baseball game.
An old-timey baseball
game? I have problems with emails.
Against the town.
That's what I...
I really do want a baseball game.
That would be fun.
Would you allow...
You gotta stay up right here.
Aren't the police who allow baseball, the fire department, the recycling center?
Oh, yeah.
To help out with this instead of working?
I would.
I can't see Brian.
Not my department, but I would.
Even if you just work...
Instead of working, close the facility down so they can spend the day...
Only half a day. Only the afternoon they'd help.
Half a day. Who's that? That's your department.
Close down the recycling center.
Close down the recycling center for half a day so that all those employees can help out volunteering.
Yeah, plus people won't be at the dump, they can go to the event.
Yeah, he said sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
All right, done. Good.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah. What else can I get?
I like the bikes and the doll carriages. We've got a lot of young kids here. They decorate their doll carriages or their... And the bikes.
The CYA should do it in the float.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll have to.
There you go.
I'll have to use my connections.
Tell Rob to come out of retirement. Because
the little kids love it. And then that they gets the parents down here and then that.
All right.
Can we have a ball game? With
whatever
the police?
Yeah. We could have a ball game or a bonfire, whatever.
What are you thinking?
I don't care.
So who can substitute?
I'm not putting it together.
Who can substitute for the PD because they won't have enough players?
We take the town office building. Look at, we take him.
That's you.
That's you.
Rick used to play.
He's going to be the umpire.
Yeah, but the last one over here. I thought it was it the police and fire or police and town against the fire department? I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because they got more bodies.
Right.
They got a lot more bodies than the.
I think it was the fire department that said it was better than the. And the police merged.
Fire department.
No, the
townspeople merged.
Right. Exactly.
That's what we're saying. Okay.
And you'll be the umpire?
When?
I might get thrown out.
No, we might need him to play.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Hey, listen, I went all last year.
And Jeff is so nice.
I didn't talk to anybody last year, so I'm getting easy my old age.
What, is that working your schedule?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, is there any time for that?
Definitely.
Oh.
We could have it before the fireworks that you're going
to
give us.
Just something to bring everybody together. I just think it's funny when it happens.
All right.
It really is.
All right. T-ball game, then.
Softball, isn't it? Softball.
Yeah. So, do you want a softball game?
Yes.
Is that what they have?
Yeah, softball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you call it, Rick? Slow pitch?
Slow pitch.
Yeah. Slow pitch.
Yeah.
Real slow pitch.
That's what you
just arc, really
you'll arc the ball.
That means you're
going to
get the ball.
I'd say you have unlimited arcs. I can see some recordings of that.
We could have a sign-up list.
Oh yeah,
for the people to play against fire department.
What's that? Yeah.
We could have a sign-up list.
Oh okay.
For people who are playing against the fire department.
What do you? You've got to have people on duty to it, right, Chief?
Mm. Oh. What?
You'd have to have people on duty too, right?
He's like, wait a minute, hold on.
I think maybe like a sign up and do a town, like either first responders versus
people
that want to play.
Police and fire against.
Something like you said, like the PD in the town and the sign up list.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes to play softball, I guess.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
I'm assuming you're one of them.
Yeah, I'm just going to say.
Good, you can help.
Yeah.
We'll just put Chief on the dunk tank.
He's a kid.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to throw balls at me, knock me in the ball.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah. The next meeting is. Huh? You do?
What?
You're
no,
something?
Amy won't
oh,
be
she
here.
Said,
oh, no,
oh, that's right. That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah,
she will not be here for the 27th.
That's
so
okay, isn't
if,
it?
If we have a light agenda.
She doesn't mind missing it.
No, she doesn't. But if we have a light agenda, is it acceptable to just cancel the meeting?
I don't care.
If we have
yes?
Yeah.
I mean,
if there's nothing.
It's an April meeting. We're not in a pressing time.
Right, exactly.
Can we
okay.
Re-adjourn in mid-August?
Yeah.
So is, are you saying the next meeting is the 27th or May?
May 11th.
Well, we're going to leave it to see what the agenda is.
I want to see what the agenda is, and then as long as we get it out ahead of time to cancel it, we can cancel.
Such as selling town land.
Right? Like
sounds good.
So you just got to keep me on task for that, the time frame.
I can do that.
All right. Anything else?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
So, Corey.
Brian? Perfect. Thank you.